The title of this sermon is The Key to Pleasing God. The Key to Pleasing God. When I was a kid, I grew up at First Baptist Church of Lafayette. And we had a tradition back then of wearing your Sunday best. Now, it's a wonderful church. I love First Baptist Lafayette. So I don't mean this to be a criticism of that church. This is normal for a lot of old Baptist churches, the tradition of wearing your Sunday best. In other words, they had a tradition of dressing up, wearing your nicest clothes when you go to church. And so the men wore their nicest suits. I mean, a coat and a tie and matching pants and socks and shoes. Some men wore a three-piece suit to church. That's including the vest, if you could afford it. And the ladies wore their nicest dress and the stockings and sometimes a big hat to go with it. And kids had to dress up too. The parents dressed up their kids nice. I mean, you did not wear jeans to church, or especially shorts or flip-flops, nothing like that. You wore your very nicest clothes. Now, why did they do that? Why did they dress up nice? Why do they believe in that? Well, they believe that dressing up nice, wearing your Sunday best, was a way to please God. That they thought that wearing a suit to church was more pleasing to God than going to church wearing jeans and flip-flops and a t-shirt. Now, today you might laugh at that tradition and think that that's kind of silly, but there's probably a few religious rituals and traditions that you have that other people think are silly. And the truth is that Christians do all sorts of, I should say, interesting things in the name of religion. All sorts of things in the name of pleasing God. Let me give you some more examples other than wearing your Sunday best. How about this one? No cursing at church. No cursing at church. In other words, some people think that it's okay to have a filthy potty mouth all week long, but when you go to church, you've got to clean it up. As soon as you walk through those doors and enter into the house of the Lord, enter into the sanctuary, well, then you need to clean up your language. Some Christians have a tradition of taking your hat off at church, especially if you're a man or a boy. When I was growing up, that's another tradition that we had. If I went into church with my ball cap on, and an older gentleman in the church would catch me, boy, I would get in trouble. You didn't do that. This is the house of the Lord. Take your hat off. For other Christians, how about dipping your fingers in holy water and making the sign of the cross when you enter the church? Dipping your fingers in holy water and making the sign of the cross. Listen to this quote from St. Teresa of Avila. She said, "From long experience, I have learned that there is nothing like holy water to put devils to flight and prevent them from coming back again. They also flee from the cross, but return, so holy water must have great virtue. For my own part, whenever I take it, my soul feels a particular and most notable consolation." So, there's that, and then another one, making the sign of the cross when you pass by a church or a graveyard. I learned this one whenever I was going to Youngsville Middle School and riding the school bus. A lot of my classmates were Catholic, Roman Catholic, and when we passed by, whether it was St. Anne's Catholic Church or First Baptist Youngsville, when we passed by a church or a graveyard, they all made the sign of the cross. And after asking them, what are you doing? They said, well, that's what you're supposed to do. They thought that that pleased God. Here's some other traditions that Christians have that they think please God. Praying before meals. Praying before meals. Praying before bed. You know, did you say your prayers? Praying the rosary. That's another big one. Memorizing scripture. That's another tradition or a ritual. What about reading your Bible. Reading your Bible. Some Christians think the very act of reading your Bible and memorizing it pleases God. What about wearing a cross? Some Christians think that wearing a cross or hanging a cross from the rearview mirror of your car pleases God. Some Christians think that not listening to secular music, no secular music, if it's not sung by a Christian artist, And if the lyrics aren't about God, then it's sacrilegious. It's not pleasing to God. Some Christians don't believe in tattoos. They think that tattoos are displeasing to God. So in order to please God, they avoid tattoos. Some Christians, in order to please God, they avoid gambling and playing cards and stuff like that. Some Christians avoid all forms of alcohol, no drinking. Some stay away from dancing. Some stay away from watching TV. Some stay away from watching R-rated movies. It's okay to watch PG, PG-13, TV-14. You have to stay away from R-rated, which means they couldn't watch The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, I guess. And then there's some Christian women. They believe that it pleases God to not wear makeup or pants or cut their hair short. So, listen, I could go on and on and on, and you could add to the list, and we'll be able to do that in home group this week. But Christians do all sorts of things in the name of pleasing God, in the name of religion. But here's the problem with all of these traditions and religious rituals. None of them actually pleases God. God doesn't actually care about these things. That's ironic, isn't it? We do all these things specifically to please God, yet God doesn't care about these things. Doing the sign of the cross before you enter the church, that doesn't impress God. Reading your Bible, that doesn't impress God. You know, there are a lot of very wicked people who read the Bible. They're actually scholars who don't even believe in the Bible, who don't even believe in God, but their profession. They've devoted their lives to the study of Scripture, to critiquing the Bible. None of these traditions and rituals please God, which means that a lot of people are wasting their time and energy and money on things to please God that don't actually matter. And at the same time, listen, the reason this is important is because if you don't know how to please God, then you can't have a healthy relationship with Him. God created you for a relationship with Him, to love Him, to know Him, to glorify Him. But if you don't know what pleases Him, then you can't have a healthy relationship with God. Think about marriage. If you don't know how to please your spouse, then you're not going to have a healthy relationship with your spouse. You're not going to have a healthy marriage. Now, over the years as a pastor, I've met a lot of husbands whose marriages were struggling and they were clueless. And what they would do is they would list off all the things that they thought that they were doing right, all the things that they thought made them a good husband. And they couldn't understand why their wife was still so unhappy. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because your wife doesn't care about those things. All the things that you think make you a good husband, they don't matter to your wife. She could care less. If you want to have a good marriage, you got to find out what makes your spouse happy. You need to study your spouse. You need to learn what pleases your spouse. When Lydia and I first got married, I was clueless about how to please her. Every woman is unique, and you have to find out what it takes to please your spouse. And very quickly, I learned that Lydia wasn't impressed with things like flowers or gifts or money. She wasn't impressed with buying her nice things. In fact, if I bought her something with money we didn't have, that would really upset her. Lydia's not impressed with big muscles or fancy cars. Before we got engaged, in fact, as I was hinting to Lydia that I was going to be proposing soon, she made it very clear to me, do not buy me an engagement ring. Now, to a lot of women, they would think, well, that's crazy. You got to have an engagement ring. But not Lydia. That was not the way to please her. Lydia thought it was so foolish to start our marriage in debt so that she could have a rock on her finger. That just didn't make sense to her, and I'm glad it didn't make sense to me either. So after a while of studying my wife and learning as much as I can about her, I realized that there's only one thing that she cares about, and that's godliness. That's all she cares about. If I want to make Lydia happy, she wants to see me devoted to God, seeking God with all my heart. If I'm doing that, she's happy. And that's good to know. It's good to know what makes my wife happy. Otherwise, I'm going to be spinning my wheels, wasting a lot of time and energy on things that don't matter, and still have an unhealthy marriage. To have a healthy marriage, you got to know what pleases your spouse. To have a healthy relationship with God, you need to know how to please Him. So, what is the key to pleasing God? If all of these rules and rituals and religious traditions have nothing to do with pleasing God, then what does it take to please God? Well, today, we're going to look at three concepts about pleasing God. They're in Mark chapter 7. Three concepts about pleasing God. Number one, the only opinion that matters is God's. The only opinion that matters is God's. Let me read verses 1 through 6 for you. It says, "The Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him." So the Pharisees and the scribes, these are religious leaders. They gathered around Jesus to question him. Verse 2 says that they observed that some of his disciples were eating their bread with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, in fact, all the Jews, will not eat unless they wash their hands ritually, keeping the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they have washed. And there are many other customs that they have received and keep, like the washing of cups, jugs, copper utensils, and dining couches. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating bread with ritually unclean hands?" Jesus answered them in verse 6, "Isaiah prophesied correctly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" So, here's what's going on in this passage. The Pharisees and the scribes, the Jewish religious leaders, they had this religious tradition that involved washing their hands before they ate. Now, this had nothing to do with trying to wash away the germs and the bacteria to avoid sickness. This had to do with spiritual cleansing. They thought that it made them spiritually clean and it made them approachable, or it made God approachable by them. It qualified them to approach God in prayer. It impressed God to wash their hands before meals. And they saw that Jesus and his disciples didn't follow this tradition. And so they criticized Jesus and his disciples. They thought that they were religious and Jesus was irreligious. They were moral, Jesus was immoral. They were righteous, Jesus was unrighteous. They were pleasing to God, Jesus was displeasing to God. But Jesus put them in their place, didn't he? Jesus called them, first of all, hypocrites. Now, hypocrite just means actor or pretender. In either words, Jesus says, you guys are pretending that you like to please God, but you don't. You're pretending that you love God, but you don't. You're pretending to be spiritual and holy and righteous and godly, but you're not. And then Jesus went on to say that they honored God with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. In other words, you talk a big talk. You talk a big game, but it's trash. You say that you love God, but you don't. You say that following God's rules, that pleasing God is important to you, but it's not. You honor God with your lips, but your hearts are far from Him. Here's the point. The Pharisees thought that they were righteous. They thought that they were pleasing God. But it turns out they weren't. Why not? Because Jesus condemned them. Jesus condemned them. And in the end, the only opinion that matters is God's. Listen, if Jesus condemns you, then you're not pleasing to God. It doesn't matter if you think you're holy. It doesn't matter if other people think you're holy. It doesn't matter if you think you're impressed with yourself or if other people are impressed with you. What matters in the end is God's opinion. And in this case, Jesus condemned the Pharisees. If Jesus condemns you, then you're not pleasing to God. In the end, the only opinion that matters is God's. If you want to please God, then you've got to focus on His opinion and His opinion alone. Forget about what other people think about you. Forget about what you think about yourself and focus on God's opinion. It doesn't matter if you think you're a good person. What does God think? It doesn't matter if other people think you're a good person. What does God think? Listen, the same thing is true in marriage. If I want to please my wife, then I need to focus on her opinion. It doesn't matter if I think I'm a good husband. It doesn't matter if you think I'm a good husband. Because if I can impress myself and I can impress you, but if my wife is not impressed, then I'm still going to have an unhealthy marriage. If I want to please my wife, I've got to make sure that I'm pleasing her. If I want to have a healthy relationship, that is, I've got to make sure that I'm pleasing her, because her opinion is all that really matters. When you read about Jesus throughout the Gospels, one of the things that stands out is that Jesus didn't care about impressing people. Jesus only cared about one thing, pleasing his heavenly Father. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. That was against the rules. He was criticized for doing that. Jesus socialized with tax collectors and sinners, and that was looked down upon. Jesus didn't follow the fasting rituals of the Pharisees by fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. Jesus didn't follow the hand-washing rituals and traditions of the Pharisees. Jesus did all of these things that made him look like a bad person in his culture. And the reason why he did these things is because Jesus only cared about one opinion, and that was the opinion of his heavenly Father. And that's what you have to focus on if you want to please God. You have to be focused solely on God's opinion. Forget about what you think is right or wrong. Forget about what our society says is right or wrong. Forget even about what the law, what the Supreme Court, what Congress says is right or wrong. You need to focus on what God thinks. His opinion is the only one that matters. The story of Kim Davis comes to mind. Kim Davis, as you know, is the clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky, who refused to issue marriage licenses this year to same-sex couples because of her religious convictions that marriage is between one man and one woman. Well, as a result, several couples decided to sue her, arguing that her duties as an elected official required her to act despite her religious beliefs. Then on September 3rd, she was found to be in contempt of court and was arrested and put in jail for several days before being released. Now, at this time, and this was in early September, the entire country was talking about Kim Davis. People on all the talk shows, the news channels, everybody was talking about her. People at home, at work, at church, and some people were in support of her, and some people were greatly or highly critical of her. Some people criticized her past. They criticized even her looks. Some people thought she was a horrible person for doing this. She was called a hater and a bigot. Yet in all of this, Kim Davis stood firm, because she believed that God is against same-sex marriage, and that in order to please God, she must stand against same-sex marriage. And she was focused on one person's opinion, and that was God's. She didn't care what people thought about her. She didn't care what she thought about herself. All she cared about was one person's opinion. And that's why she was able to stand strong in the face of all that adversity and all that criticism. And that's why she is such an inspiring example of strength, of spiritual strength to all of us. She only cared about one person's opinion. And that's how we have to be. If we want to please the Lord, there's only one opinion that matters. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not the church's. It's not society's. It's God's. So focus on what God thinks. Find out what God says is good or bad. Find out what matters to God. And then nothing matters beyond that. One day, you're going to have to stand before God and be judged. Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done." One day you're going to be judged, and I'm not going to judge you. You're not going to judge yourself. Our church is not going to judge you. Our culture is not going to judge you. God is going to judge you by his standards. So you better be sure that you are pleasing him. His opinion is the only one that matters. Here's the second concept about pleasing God. Man-made traditions don't please God. Man-made traditions don't please God. Verse 7, Mark 7:7, Jesus continues to quote from the prophet Isaiah by saying, "They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commands of men." They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. The problem with the Pharisees and the scribes was that they sincerely believed that their man-made traditions were pleasing to God. They thought that their man-made traditions were just as important and just as authoritative as God's written commands. And so they treated their man-made traditions as doctrines, in other words, as the commands of God. But Jesus condemned them. Jesus' point was that your man-made traditions do not please God. Do not try to please God with man-made traditions and rituals and rules. Stop trying to please God with practices that are not commanded by God in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that all religious traditions and rituals are displeasing to God. Some of them, I think God just doesn't care about. They don't necessarily make God angry. They don't necessarily offend God. They just don't please Him. In my marriage, for example, there are a lot of things that I can do that don't necessarily upset my wife, but the point is, they don't please her. They're not the key to her heart. For example, if I were to buy her flowers, well, she wouldn't be upset with me, but that's not really the way to please her. If I were to buy her some new jewelry, some new earrings, well, that wouldn't make her angry, but it's not the key to her heart. This past week, on Thursday night, I barbecued some wonderful stuffed chicken thighs. And I noticed that Lydia was enjoying that chicken. Now, that didn't upset Lydia that I barbecued, but that wasn't the key to her heart. And it's the same way with God. Our religious rules and traditions may not necessarily displease Him, although sometimes they do whenever they are a distraction from actually obeying His commands. But a lot of times they don't displease God. They just don't please Him, which means they're really a waste of time. If it's not a biblical command, then it doesn't please God. If two men walk into church and one is wearing jeans and one is wearing a three-piece suit, which one impresses God the most? Neither. Because neither of those things have anything to do with pleasing God. If two women walk into church, and they both curse a lot, I mean, they both have potty mouths, but one of them stops cursing when they enter into church, which one most pleases God? Well, neither. Neither. Because God doesn't want you to have a potty mouth at all. It doesn't matter where you're having a potty mouth, God doesn't want you to have a potty mouth at all. If two people walk into church and one person makes the sign of the cross and the other person doesn't, which person most impresses God? Neither. That doesn't matter to God. Following man-made traditions has nothing to do with true spirituality, has nothing to do with truly loving God. So don't assume that God is pleased with you for your man-made traditions. And don't assume that you're better than other people, that you're more spiritual than other people, because you follow all these man-made rituals and rules and religious traditions, and they don't. If it's not a biblical command, then it doesn't please God. Here's the third concept about pleasing God. The key to pleasing God is submission, not tradition. It's submission, not tradition. Let me read verses 8 through 13. Jesus says to the Pharisees and scribes, He says, disregarding the command of God, you keep the tradition of men. He also said to them, you completely invalidate God's command in order to maintain your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever benefit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift committed to the temple, you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. You revoke God's word by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many other similar things. So Jesus gave an example of how the Pharisees and the scribes were so devoted to their man-made traditions that they actually followed their man-made traditions and disobeyed God's commands. In fact, they used man-made traditions, man-made commands, in order, as an excuse, to disobey God's commands. And Jesus gave an example. He says that the Bible teaches that children are to honor their parents, and part of what that means is to care for your aging parents. That's not the responsibility of the church. It's not the responsibility of the government. That's your responsibility. Care for your aging parents. But that can be burdensome, and that can be costly and expensive. And so the Jews found a way to get around, or so they thought, to get around this commandment. And what they did was they said, they came up with this tradition called Korban. What they could do was that they could declare that all of their money was Korban, or dedicated to the temple. Now, what that meant in actuality was that they didn't have to give all their money to the temple right away. They could wait until they died and then just leave all of their money and possessions and property to the temple. But as long as they were alive, they could use their money for in whatever way they wanted. But because it was Korban, because it was dedicated to the temple, that gave them a religious-sounding excuse to not help people who were in need, such as their friends and neighbors and their family, their own parents. So if their parents would come to them and say, hey, we're in need, we need you to help us, we need some help, we need you to take care of us, they could say, listen, I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad, all of my money is Korban. It's dedicated to the temple. I made a vow to give it to God. And the Bible says in Numbers 30, verse 2, that you can't break a vow. And so I wish I could help you, but I've already dedicated all this money to the temple, so I can't use it to help you. Now, of course, that was a lie. That was just an excuse. It was just a religious, man-made tradition used to get out of actually following God's commands. Now here's the point. Jesus was condemning them because he was saying that the key to pleasing God is submission, not tradition. The key to pleasing God is not these man-made rituals and religious practices and traditions. It's not Korban, declaring all of your money Korban. No, God wants you to follow his command of taking care of your parents. If you want to please God, it's all about obedience. It's not about tradition. It's not about man-made rituals and traditions and rules. Obedience is the definition of true spirituality or true devotion to God. The mission of our church is to help people far from God become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to be fully devoted? It means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And in practical terms, to be fully devoted means to be obedient. It means living a life of obedience to God, dedicated to obedience. Because that's what it's all about. That's the Christian life. Obedience. Dedicated to obedience. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And in John 14, 23, he said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. 1 John 2, 3 through 6, Jesus, the Apostle John wrote, this is how we are sure that we have come to know him, by keeping his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps my word, truly in him, the love of God is perfected. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. At Church Acadiana, we're trying to lead people to become fully devoted or fully obedient followers of Jesus Christ. It's about submission, not tradition. Here's another way to put it. The key to pleasing God is studying your Bible and doing what it says. Studying your Bible and doing what it says. It's all about obedience, but you can't obey what you don't know. So you got to study your Bible so you can know God's will. But then the point is not just to read the word or memorize the word. The point is to read it and memorize it so you can obey it. You know, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they're not dedicated to obedience. And so they're Christians in name only. There's a lot of people who are committed to attending church. I mean, they never miss church, but they're not dedicated to obedience. And so they're not real Christians. A lot of people even believe the right things. Their doctrine intellectually is orthodox. It's right. They believe in the Trinity. They believe in creation rather than evolution. They believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They believe in the authority of Scripture, the inerrancy and inspiration of the Bible. They believe That salvation is by faith and not by works, and so their doctrine is orthodox, but they're not committed to obedience. So their Christianity is false. They're hypocrites. They're just pretenders. There's a lot of people who are very religious. They keep all kinds of religious rituals and traditions and follow all sorts of religious rules. They're very, very, very religious. But they're not dedicated to obedience, to obeying God's word. These people aren't pleasing to God. They don't impress God with their religious devotion because they're not dedicated to obeying God's commands. Pleasing God is all about submission, not tradition. So what about you? And what about me? Have you come to the point in your life where you made a commitment to obey God in every area of your life? Are you committed to obeying God in your finances, your health, your thoughts, your speech, your time? You know, the best thing that ever happened to me, other than my salvation, is Lydia, is meeting my wife. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Now, when I met Lydia, Lydia and I were both in college, and when we met, I was fully devoted to God. I wasn't perfect, but I was on fire for Jesus, as I am today. I was fully devoted to being obedient to God. I wanted more than anything in this world to please God. That was my passion. That was my focus. That's all I wanted. I wanted to please the Lord and serve Him. And that's why Lydia was attracted to me. It was because of my devotion to obedience, to obeying God, to being obedient. Here's the point. God's greatest gift to me is the result of my obedience. If I wouldn't have been committed to obedience, if I wouldn't have been sold out to God, Lydia wouldn't have been attracted to me. She would not have been interested in me at all. She was drawn to me because of my devotion to God, because of my passion for obedience. God's greatest gift to me was the result of my obedience. I believe that God has a great future for you. He has great blessings in store for you. But the only way to walk in that blessing is by walking in obedience. God can only bless you if you're walking in obedience. Because God is not going to bless sin. He's not going to bless you and enable you and encourage you to continue living in sin. No. You turn from your sin and begin to walk in obedience, and then God will bless you. He's got blessings in store for you that you can't imagine, but you've got to be obedient. Pleasing God is not about tradition. It's not about rules and rituals, man-made rules and rituals. It's about pleasing God. It's about obedience. It's about submission, not tradition. And so I urge you today to make a new commitment to obedience. Let's stop paying church. Let's stop playing religion. It's not fun anyway. Let's devote ourselves to obeying God in every area of our lives. Let's devote ourselves to start studying the Bible and doing what it says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to become obedient. Not so that we could earn our way, work our way to heaven. We know that the only reason we go to heaven is because of what you have done for us, Jesus, on the cross. And we put our full trust in that, in your obedience. But Lord, we want to obey you because we know that that pleases you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to fully surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.